Good afternoon and welcome to IMLB Full Count Episode 4. I'm Charlie Hoppus alongside my co-host Atul. Today and always we are covering IMLB for Out of the Park Baseball 21. It's been so long since we recorded a podcast, we've moved to a whole new game, and we are about a month and a half into the season in May 2021. Time sure flies. It's been a while and we've got a lot to catch up on. So Atul, last time we talked, the world wasn't on its ear. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you doing, buddy? As you said, it's great to be back with you here. It has been ages. And my goodness, I hadn't even thought about some of those changes. I mean, obviously, COVID is one thing. We've gone to OTP 21. That's a second thing. We've crowned a World Series champ. We've lost some GMs, including that World Series champion. We've introduced new GMs into the fray in replacement. We've got new league management. It's been a flurry of activity here for one season, eh?
And yet it's still the best baseball out there because, you know, there's no other baseball out there.
Well, technically not true. The Korean Baseball League is firing up. We have to go to formality for the truly insane junkie of the world.
Have you gotten a chance to watch any of that yet?
Oh, heck no, and nor do I intend to.
I got a chance to watch a little bit of it. I've been mostly catching up with the highlights. I'm an Orioles fan, and there are several teams, including the LG Twins, that are Orioles, former Orioles heavy. So
really?
It's been fun to the LG Twins. Yeah, no one good, obviously. But it's been fun to check out the former major leaguers doing some stuff.
Very interesting. If it weren't for the fact that, honestly, baseball's fourth on my rung of the four sports, I mean, I know hockey is way lower on, like, 99% of the universe, but I'm totally a basketball, football, then hockey, and then baseball guy. So I almost am kind of welcoming. I want sports. It'd be nice to have it available to watch during this downtime, but, you know, Netflix, Prime, binge watching, and I've just got so much work thanks to Zoom. I think it's a good time. I'm focusing on certifications and personal training to kill the time, so no complaints.
Well, without further ado, let's get into the actual league here. As you mentioned, there has been a lot of change within the league. For a lot of people, this will be their first podcast of ours that they'll be listening to. We haven't had a chance to podcast in quite some time. So we'll try to get through some of what's happening in the league right now, maybe make some predictions, and keep this a nice short episode if we can help ourselves here. So first and foremost, taking a look at the standings, going around the league, we have the Red Sox in first place in the AL East, the surprising Kansas City Royals in first in the AL Central, and then a dead heat with the Twins right behind them, and then a dead heat in the AL West with the Angels and the Astros. Those also represent your two teams in wild card position right now, including the Twins. Atul, what do you make of the American League?
So I think the American League has been quite interesting, right? I mean, you're talking about a wild card team that was in a hotly contested AL Central between the Twins and the Indians. Minnesota, pretty much, if you recall, was in first place in pole position almost throughout in the Central. But we've seen the Indians completely fall from grace. They're in last place in the AL Central. I don't know that I ever would have expected that. I think that some of their moves might have suggested that they decided to slow or fast play, depending on how you want to look into it, into maybe a retooling/rebuild type mode. I think the Kansas City Royals, many of us can agree, this is very interesting. They started off hot last year also, and the question that's going to come to pass is this sustainable? Is this realistic? Or is this just like 2020, a fast start where the Royals have some good pieces, but the best is yet to come? Is that best this season, or is the best the future? Minnesota, I think they typically are. They are the class of the AL Central. They didn't have any material losses. The team is solid. So if the question, I'll probably pose it to you. You probably were going to be thinking and asking it of me. Do I think the Royals are going to keep this up? I don't want to say no, but, you know, I think they're overachieving could be an argument. Ian Kennedy is pitching out of his mind early on. Scott Blewett is really pitching well. A 1.79 ERA for a guy who debuted in 17 and two-thirds to a 9.17. Probably some regression is forthcoming on the pitching. They're hitting quite well, third in runs scored, fourth in batting average. The power is very weak. They're 11th in the American League out of the 15 teams. So I think that probably good start, great start. The Royals have popped up. I think you're going to see the regression. The Twins had a slow start, admittedly, and I can say this of my own because my White Sox jumped off blazing. We're in the wild card race. I hope that we can stick around and survive some injuries, but with five straight losses, I shared with you before we started this this recording, I'm a little concerned that my White Sox might be a 500, 550 team, but my pitching stinks, you know?
Well,
so that's my take on the AL Central at the very least, both personal and what I'm seeing in the broader picture.
The Royals are interesting because they have the fourth best run differential in all of baseball. So it's not fluky. They're not getting away with some one-run wins. They're really putting the hurt on teams. You're right. Their ratings, if you look at individual player ratings, they don't look much better than last year's team. And last year's team we were talking about as one of the worst in baseball. So to see them where they are now, very exciting, and it adds some spice to that race, and later down the road, the wild card race. The Twins are just a good team. Exciting to see the Red Sox take control of the AL Central or AL East. One of the best records in baseball, second best behind the Dodgers. We also have a duel down west in Los Angeles and Houston with the Angels and Astros. Those teams right now in a dead heat. As I mentioned, the Angels have perhaps the very best core four of, and maybe even core five, depending if you want to add Juan Segura to the mix here. But they've got an outfield of Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Christian Yelich, with Nelson Cruz at DH. It's a murderer's row that if this team existed in real life, we'd be comparing it to some of the great lineups in all of baseball history, or at least stretches of a lineup in all of baseball history.
It's a stupid offense. It's a stupid good offense on paper. Nelson Cruz is batting barely over the Mendoza line. Have to wonder if I can play devil's advocate for a minute if his age is catching up to him. You know, what looks good on paper doesn't necessarily translate. I think when you're in such a tough division, the AL is loaded with tough competition, right?
Well, he's not having a Bonzian-type year, but Cruz is still on pace for over two, almost 2.5 war out of the DH slot, which is pretty good value. Maybe not for the $22 million he signed for, but, I mean, that's a really strong designated hitter.
I'll tell you what, take a look at my Schwarber baby signing if I can play the part of bringing praise to myself for a moment.
Sure.
I think that Cruz and Schwarber, age notwithstanding, could have been similar profile type bats. Cruz probably a little more reliable historically on the batting average. But I think that's why I'm saying when I'm looking at some of the peripherals, it could be about time. Yeah, he's going to bring you the power. But we kind of had the same conversation last year. His arms are terrible. He gave up even more pitching this offseason and decided he's going to outscore the entire world.
It's interesting to see that approach.
It ain't going to work.
It's an interesting thing to see that approach. We said it wouldn't work last year, and then he roared back from a really deep hole to make the playoffs and make a nice run in the playoffs.
No, I did predict that he was going to be the AL West champions from the beginning, if you remember, not having the foresightedness of some of his insane moves.
Sure, sure. So do you want to talk about the Red Sox at all, or should we swing over to the NL?
I think the only thing I would comment on the AL East, it's good to see the Red Sox. When we were talking about them in 2020, the question was how the competition was going to play out between the Expos and the Yankees and the Red Sox. Who's first, second, third? I find it fascinating that the Red Sox are the only team above 500 in the AL East at almost the quarter pole, and the Blue Jays are your surprising. And when I say surprising, they have the talent, obviously. You have Vladdy Daddy Jr. And team, but I don't think I necessarily expected the Yankees and the Expos to both be 500 floundering, and barring some moves, some recovery, some rising back to what I expect the talent to perform, I think you're probably looking at a fait accompli on what that division's going to look like. Whereas in the AL West, I don't even think you can rule the Rangers or the A's out of it. When you're talking five behind in the loss column, there's plenty of baseball to be played. Some injuries can happen. The Angels' pitching staff is beyond disgustingly ugly, fugly types. Astros have good pitching, probably could stand to gain some offense. I think you're looking at a couple of divisions that are wide open, but the AL East, I think it's going to get ugly.
Let me pin you down. What are your playoff teams in the American League?
In the American League, I'm going to say the Twins are going to win the Central, the Red Sox are going to win the East. I'm going to take the Angels in the West because I'm standing by my notion, just like I did last season, that offense is going to win out. But I don't think they're going to win anything in the playoffs if they don't add a legitimate. They got to improve their pitching. It's atrocious. There's no two ways about it. When I'm looking at their team defense is atrocious. That also is doing no favors to their pitching staff. Maybe if they plug in the defense, the arms pitch better enough that you can rely on those on that offense and the second leading run scored at 188 for now. Maybe that turns into a positive. The other upside I see for the Angels, while I'm not going to comment on whether Harper's over or underperforming at 297, he seems to be consistent with last year. Mike Trout, we know he's a 300 hitter. If he's hitting 18 home runs on 130 at bats at 254, I shudder at what happens when the weather warms up in June and July and he gets that average over 310, 320. Are you looking at a 65-70 home run season from Trout?
So what are your wild card picks then? You've got Angels, Twins, Red Sox.
I think you're going to get one from the AL West. Probably it's going to be the non-division winner of the Angels and Astros. And then I think you're the wild card. Therefore, as of now, for what I'm seeing, probably by math, is coming out of the AL Central. But truth be told, I don't think the Royals are going to sustain. And based on personal insight, if the White Sox aren't going to stay healthy, Tim Anderson is a piece of garbage. It's out on record. If somebody wants him, he's on the block. Not because he's not a good player, but I have a very, 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 very low affinity for people who refuse to stay healthy 162 games a year. He could be hurt 10 games a year, and it pisses me off. That's who I am. So, official block notice, unwritten but spoken. I think the White Sox can be in the wildcard hunt. They got to stay healthy. It's the only way they're going to pull it off.
Man, I hate to be boring, but I've got the exact same teams finishing the exact same way. Who do you have coming? I have Angels, Twins, Red Sox with the White Sox and the Astros as my wild card teams. Who do you have coming out of it and representing the American League in the World Series?
I'm going to go with the Twins.
Nice. I've got Red Sox. I think the Red Sox have some depth of pitching that will help them in the playoffs. I like the Twins better as a regular season team. They showed everybody that they can make it. They made it last year, so that's a strong pick, the Twins. But I've got Red Sox based on the strength of their pitching staff.
And ironically, by the same token, I like the fact that Minnesota's on a six-man rotation already. You're going to rest Berrios and Talon. I mean, the Red Sox have a stronger trifecta at the top of the rotation, and it's a stupid deep five. There's just something offensively that I think that the Twins will find a way to overcome come postseason. I don't know, call it a sixth sense. But I'm not sitting here and saying it's a heads and tails thing. I'll be surprised at neither team representing the American League in the World Series.
It's possible. There's a lot of strong teams in the American League. It's
Agreed.
Sort of part of how they shake out and what order they finish in. There's a lot of sort of head-to-head things that we don't know yet. So it's possible that neither of them represent it. In the National League, we've got one, two, three, four teams that probably are counting themselves out. Everybody else seems to think that they're in the fray, with nobody really pulling away yet. And with the wild card, second wild card spot hovering around 500. So let's get into the National League. First, we'll start with my favorite division, always the National League East, where you have the Nationals, followed by the surprising Marlins.
There you go. Now you put a smile on my face, Charlie. Let's not care about anybody else in the National League. I don't want to hear about a team that wears ugly, boring uniforms that plays in Los Angeles in the National League. They will not be mentioned. They can stay conveniently out of this segment. Let's talk about the Miami Marlins. Glory to an under-financed team at 500.
It's interesting because we've got, right now we've got run differential for the Marlins is minus 10, but they're at 500. So they've gotten a little bit lucky so far. The Braves are at plus 38 and have the same record. So they've scored 48. They've had a run differential of plus 48 over the Marlins, but are at the same record. The Mets really struggling right now with a minus 31. And then the Phillies, so incredibly unlucky, the most unlucky team in baseball so far, a plus 20 run differential, and they are sitting at seven games under 500, which is brutal. It's brutal. They should be, according to the Pythagorean theorem.
I know, I hate that thing.
Yeah. A lot of THs. According to that, they should have their record almost flipped on its head. They should be 23-18 towards the top of the division. So it's interesting. Every team in that division right now fancies themselves buyers. They think that they can hang in. Right now, the Nationals have shown that they can actually win on the field. What about the other four teams, the Marlins, the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies? Do you see any of them hanging around the race, either making a run at the Nationals or trying to swipe a wild card spot?
So now there's a couple of things that pop to mind. I'm going to say no, but as always, got to have disclaimers. We know that our resident Mets GM, the man is a mover and a shaker. The question that comes to pass is he going to shake in an attempt to compete, or is he going to call it a lost season, and is he going to sell or just punt to 2022? I think the Mets, for me, are a team that could pop right back into this. The Braves are in the same boat, but I almost foresee them, given how much young talent that they have, my prediction would be odds of seeing general manager moving key pieces there to try to bolster up for a strong playoff run, whether it is division or wild card. It's always a tough call. You know, we as GMs, we always fall in love with specs. We love keeping our farm systems highly OSA rated because OSA rankings are the end all of it. But at the same time, you don't want to take on high-priced talent, not make the playoffs, and then freaking be indebted to the future without any financial flexibility. So from that standpoint, I'd like to see which GM or GMs decide to make a move, because the math of your question, now I got to introduce two, maybe three teams in the NL Central, and I definitely got to include the Padres and the Rockies, two teams coming out of the West. The wildcard race is way deep in the National League, and I think that's what you need to talk about, right?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think looking at just the general managers, if that's where it's going to be, both the Phillies and Mets have announced their intentions to sort of keep their foot on the gas in terms of making deals. So would the Braves, sort of, as according to what we've seen, they're sort of just feel like they've been unlucky, and they have been. They have the best run differential, again, in the entire NL East. So it's going to be interesting to see how they shake out. We've got at least four teams that are going to keep their foot on the gas, plus the upstart Marlins. So it's going to be interesting. A division that is already interesting is the NL Central, where everyone except for the Brewers has a very strong case for being where they are. The Reds at 500, the Pirates just above 500, And then ahead of them, the Cardinals. And then in first place, the retooled Chicago Cubs, looking really strong, really impressed by the work that the Cubs have done. Thoughts on this a little bit? It's hard to call any of these divisions a powerhouse because everyone's sort of hovering around 500 in the entire National League outside of the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Dodgers, and then a couple of bottom feeders. So everyone's in this race. So what do you make of the race in the NL Central, both for the division, and do you think we can see a wild card come out of this division?
I think easily you could. I mean, if you're looking at it, just on the pure math of it, you could see the wild cards be two teams from the same division, regardless of East, Central, or West. There's nothing in the math that doesn't say you couldn't get two NL East or Central or West teams to be the wild card. Padres and Rockies are in it just as much as the Cardinals and Reds and Cubs, because I got to imagine that either the Cardinals or Cubs are going to hold on and win the NL Central. The Reds, coming off of some league sanctions and challenges coming out of regime changes and what have you, I think the Reds are doing a fantastic job of hanging around through that turbulence. But I think that probably their place is going to remain in the wild card competition.
Now, for those who don't know, tell us about the Reds, and you mentioned sanctions.
Oh, yeah, So we had a previous regime, and I think that the online community has always been plagued with this. It's sensitive to it. There always can be accusations and allegations. Unfortunately, we've been in a circumstance, in a situation where there may have been some impropriety, and as circumstances would have it, that impropriety was confirmed in another league through some chatter. The Cincinnati Reds had some nerfing of player ratings going on under the hood. Some of that happened. Players were mucked. That was all reversed as best possibly identifiable, what have you. Damage was obviously done, but we have a new Reds GM in place, strong, thankful for him to be on board individual. He's taken it with grace, and when you consider you're talking about undoing some serious increases in ratings, I think it's a credit that they're above 500 at this point.
Yeah, they look good. The whole division looks good. I've been really impressed with the Cubs. That team underperformed all last year, and now they look like they are overperforming, at least in my opinion, from the expectations I had of them going into the season. Really a great tribute to Joshua Hill, their general manager, make some moves and putting together a team that really fits together well.
Oh, he's been a mover. I mean, you've got Ian Happ playing some good ball. Rizzo's doing captain-like things. I think you focus on J.D. Davis. If you give him a home, he always had the bat. Maybe Wrigley Field is just a good fit for him. Get the winds blowing. He should be a guy who can hit 20 to 25. Scooter Gennett is hitting out of his mind. You have to ask yourself, how sustainable is it? But if you're going to get 363 and a short run play out of him in the six hole, is he going to keep it going? Yeah, so he regresses and you drop him down into the eight. But Didi Gregorius, love that addition. He's given him solid D at shortstop. You're getting good play. Yu Darvish in the rotation, his ERA is down almost a run. He's pitching far better than he did last season so far. And the rotation, by and large, is pitching better. So I think if you start taking a combination of some better team defense, which is resulting in some better pitching, and they're second in the National League in runs scored, they're definitely generating runs, and it's not all home run reliant. They're fourth in power with the home runs at 47. And you're seeing good things all around. Right, it's a good team effort. But the Cardinals were the class of the NL Central last year. They're only a game out in the loss column. I think that you have all the good makings of a fantastic division race here. But if you're going to ask me straight away who's going to take this, I'm picking the Cardinals. I go with the incumbent because I think it's just a matter of, do you have the horses that have proven themselves? The Cardinals won it last year. The Cubs are chasing. Let's see how it shakes out a month from now.
Let's move on to the only division, I think, in baseball that's already open and shut, and that's the NL West.
Wait a minute. How can you say that, Charlie? The Red Sox are up in the loss column the same number of games. No, in fact, more. If you're going to say that for the Dodgers, then the American East is more on lockdown.
All right, there you go. So there's two then.
I'm just keeping it real. Boston's got to get its props. They're 9 games up in the loss column. The Dodgers are only up 7 in the loss column.
For me, it's the fact that the Diamondbacks and Giants are in that division as well. They're just going to continue to open up. They're going to win at a higher rate against those teams than the Padres and the Rockies are going to be able to, and they're going to continue to open up their lead. I think that the AL East is a little bit more of a petri dish of teams that have talent, whether their records are showing it or not.
So Baltimore sucks. I mean, if you want to put it, Baltimore and San Francisco are washed for your comp. You're basically just saying Montreal versus Arizona. And then
sure,
you've got two wild card contenders mathematically sitting in second and third place. Sorry, I'm just having a little fun throwing some devil's advocate at you on that.
Sure. I think that the Montreal, Yankees, and Toronto trifecta is better than Padres, Rockies, Diamondbacks by a lot. That's just me. Just in terms of talent, I don't know if they're right.
But I think now some of that you got to load balance it across your competition in the entire league, not just within your own division. It's not like you're playing your in division foes 40 times a year and the others 5.
You're playing them a lot, though. You're playing them. It feels like I've only played the Dodgers so far as the general manager of the Padres. I feel like I've played the Dodgers every single sim. It's brutal.
Which means you've done very well, and you're in a position to compete with them more closely than you'd realize. Because we both have to remember, you literally are a Walker Buehler injury. Come on, Chris, make it happen. I didn't say that out loud. We're just a Walker Buehler injury away from the NL West becoming very, very colorful. Or maybe I should say Cody Bellinger. But, you know, I don't want to name names on who, if you give a timely injury to, that we can see an interesting divisional race heat up there.
The Dodgers are certainly, so far, the class of the National League, regardless. And it's interesting to see the Rockies and the Padres were staying the same spots as we were for a lot of last year. Those teams hung around 500, then made a push for the playoffs. Both of them just fell short, but finished well over 500 and had good seasons. It's going to be interesting to see if either of those teams can shake off each other and make a push through all these, I mean, through the Cardinals, through the Cubs, through the Pirates, through the Reds, the Nationals, Marlins, Braves, Mets, Phillies. If they can make it through all of that, and if one of these West teams can get a wild card spot with maybe the help of the losing of the Diamondbacks and Giants, but again, having to work against the Dodgers the whole way.
I'll tell you what, Charlie. And it's not a function of I got of an affinity or a love for you per se, but Matt Chapman 199, Tatis 224, Machado 124. That you're 18-16 with that garbage for production. I got to imagine that the Padres are gonna take a leap just like they did last year in the second half of the year. And you're probably going to start running away with a wild card spot. And if dominoes fall properly, I think you're going to give the Dodgers a little bit more of a run for their money than we can expect. Because I refuse to believe Devers is hitting Ted Williams land come end of season. Cody Bellinger, I've seen it in too many leagues. I think his numbers are more sustainable. But I just think that there's going to be some regression and increase. And I think your team actually only has room for a boatload more improvements. Your ERAs, your pitching, your starters, yeah, fourth in the National League. But I got to imagine a Nola and a Lamet are going to reduce down into the mid-threes. If your pitching is going to improve and your offense is going to start generating more than 11th out of 15 NL teams in runs, you're the team that's going to probably rise more than just about any when I'm looking at the peripherals in the National League.
I'm certainly have my fingers crossed. We have a really strong pitching staff, a really good defense, and the offense should be better than 11th. I don't know what to say about Machado. He's hitting under 130. It's just
I don't get that, but I feel you, man.
Me neither. So even if he has a bad season as opposed to a catastrophic one, if he doesn't have a Chris Davis season, I think that helps us a lot. So we'll see. Who do you have? This is going to be interesting. Who do you have coming out of the National League? Who are your playoff teams?
In terms of the playoff teams, I mean, I hate to say it, like I said, the unnamables probably going to win the NL West. Although, like I said, I think you have a legit shot at it. That the moment that offense starts percolating, it starts hitting on cylinders, I think that your offense is every bit as dangerous as what those guys are doing. And seven-game lead is nothing this early in the season. I think the Cardinals
are
going to
You might be a sim behind. I'm down 11 right now.
Oh, shoot. I didn't download yesterday. You're right. This is based on... We are at the quarter pole. You're right. I knew something was off. Well, life goes on. So that means you just had a cruddy sim yesterday and you got beat up just like I did. But anyhow, I thought I had downloaded it and that's what was showing me my 19 and 15. I might be off a day. But I think the Cardinals, the unnamables, and the Nationals are going to be your division champs. And I think that the Padres and the loser of the Cubs-Cardinals are going to be the wild card teams. That's my prediction for the National League as of now.
No Braves?
Nope.
Okay, I have Nationals and Braves. I don't know who I have winning the division. I think I have the Braves winning it.
If the Braves are making the playoffs, it's because they won the division and the Nationals didn't go to the playoffs at all. That's the way I see that shaking out.
True.
I think only one team's coming out of the NL East.
Okay. All right.
Despite what I said earlier, mathematically, yes. Two teams, both wild cards, could come out of there. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to beat up on each other more than, you know, just about any other division. So I'd say Braves and Nationals. Then I've got the Cubs and Cardinals and then the Dodgers. In that order, so the Cardinals and the Nationals with the wild cards, and then I have the Dodgers. This is pretty safe pick, but I have the Dodgers coming out of the National League to play the Red Sox. What do you got?
I'm gonna go with either the Padres or the Cardinals coming out of the National League.
Give me the Padres. Let's do it. Let's do it, Atul.
Oh, I think things are gonna happen. Something is going to change. I know that I was hating on OTP, and I always believe that the overall top record is cursed. The Dodgers proved me wrong in OTP, both in this league and in the FOD. Let's see what happens. But do I believe that a two-peat is in the cards? I will say this. If they two-peat, I'll be willing to put them back in the World Series in either year three or year four for a three out of four type thing. Because I've seen that happen in others, but I just I go against the OTPD powers that be when possible. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm intentionally tossing three or four games and try to fall back a tick and yet remain healthy and superior.
So you have, going to the World Series, you have Twins and Padres, is that right?
That is correct.
Who do you have winning that?
That's a good question. Too soon to tell. I am predicting it. I refrain from a prediction of title between those two. If I'm forced to, I'm probably choosing the Padres because with the Padres to get there, their offense has woken up and is firing on all cylinders.
All right, I'm forcing you to then.
There you go, Padres. And by the way, I almost guarantee that prediction is not going to come true, but it just looks good right now, so I'm going with it.
All right, well, that's good. I've got Dodgers over Red Sox. And I think that's about all the time we have today. So we're going to have to close that out. Anything else, Atul, before we get into our wrap-up?
Well, I think in closing, let's try to get back to some semblance of regularity. Maybe we can join back together. And we'll have some chatter so that we can stay afresh of all of the league happenings and the news. I think that, you know, we created quite a bit of a fun stir last season at around this time when we started predicting to some potential trades that could make and break divisional races, playoff races. Well, let's try to connect at the end of this week or early next week and cover off on exactly that.
Yeah, sounds good to me. So that's our show. Be sure to check out the previous podcast if you haven't already, and be sure to check out, as always, our fantastic website. And
a tool I don't know if you have this pulled up. It's been a long time, Charlie. I don't need to read the pre-recorded, pre-written, fantastically dictated message, but everybody knows where to go to with the IMLB websites in Slack. You can find us. You can listen to us. So do it.
Do it. Awesome. All right. Everyone have a great rest of the month of May, both in real life and also in the game. And we will see you once the calendar, IMLB calendar, flips over into June, or perhaps July. This has been Full Count. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Tool, I'm Charlie Hoppus. Have a great day.
Stay healthy, stay safe, folks. Bye, all.